Good morning. Welcome to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing, also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. That's 133 and 1133 in high definition over on LUS Fiber. I'm Raymond Parch III, your host for the next 3 hours. Louis Prejean is the producer extraordinaire, and we'll be bringing you all the best sports talk that we can possibly dig up for you between now and 9 a.m. We got a tremendous show lined up for you. UL head football coach Billy Napier. We have an interview that we recorded with him yesterday. We'll be playing that for you later today in hour number three. We'll also be talking to Mike Anthony from the Statesboro Herald to give us an idea of the behind the enemy lines look at UL's opponent this week, Georgia Southern. And then we'll also be talking with the voice of the LSU Tigers, the one and only Chris Blair. And we'll squeeze in some Houston Astros talk as well, not to worry. Let's start things off this morning with LSU football. Coach O talked to the media yesterday. Bye week this week, obviously, Tigers are 4-0, ranked in the top five in both polls. Joe Burrow is a legitimate Heisman Trophy candidate. He's already been named the SEC Offensive Player of the Week, now 3 out of the first 4 weeks of the season. Things are going swimmingly for the Tigers. They'll return to action a week from Saturday when they host Utah State at 11 a.m. there inside Tiger Stadium. Good news did come LSU's way. Ed Ingram is back on the team. Ed Ingram has been cleared to play. Now, if you remember, Ed Ingram, a few weeks before the start of last season, was suspended indefinitely from the team due to some serious assault charges that were being filed against him over in Dallas. Now, apparently that case is being cleaned up, cleared up, which is allowing him to return to the team and which is allowing him to be reinstated to the team, and they expect him to play. Now, this is what Coach O had to say about his immensely talented offensive lineman.
Yeah, there's no question. I think he looked fantastic. He's been working out. He's lost some weight. Gave our team had a little pep in his step. They all cheered for him when we announced that he was back today. So I think it gives us a sense of confidence up front and a sense that we can do some things up front with other guys. It gives us more depth.
And without a doubt, it does give them more depth. And even though the offensive line has played better this year, Ed Ingram, when he gets back into the swing of things, could be the best offensive lineman they have. Tremendous prospect coming out of high school. Remember, he was a starter as a freshman. He was the best offensive lineman they had that year. He was supposed to be the anchor last year, then got indefinitely suspended. So, he's lost some weight. You heard Coach O say that. How much is he going to play? He's been away from the team for a year. So, even though he may have lost some weight and he may have kept in shape and he may have worked out at his local gym and he may even had a trainer and he may have worked out every day, he may have studied film and so forth and so forth. There's one thing from being in shape to being in football shape. You can't expect Ed Ingram to dust it off after being gone for a full season, a full year, and some change, and expect him just to roll out there and be like, all right, man, let's do it. I think they'll slowly bring him along. I think they'll get him some playing time. I think they'll give him some reps. You can't rush him back because what's going to happen? What happens every single time a player doesn't play for a long period of time? And they try to rush him back, whether it's through injury or suspension. What happens? They get injured every time. You got to take your sweet time here with that. And Coach O said as much yesterday when he said that, look, Ed Ingram's not the starter. He's not going to just all of a sudden just walk into the room and take someone's job. He's going to have to beat McGee out for playing time.
Could be. He has to beat him out, though. He has to beat him out. Right now, McGee is on the starting spot, and Ed's on second team, and let's see if he beats him out. Now, if he does beat him out, it's probably going to happen. As we know, Ed's a really good player, so is Adrian. We could use Adrian as a utility guy, right tackle, right guard, left tackle. He can play anywhere.
He's talking about Adrian McGee, 3-year letterman already from Franklinton High School. He's the big 6'4", 343-pound senior, rocks the number 73. And that's a guy that's worked his way into becoming a starter across the offensive lineman. He is versatile, as you heard Coach O say there. Worked his way up from not playing at all, being redshirted in 2015, to playing in 3 games 2016, playing in 12, and then 10, and obviously 4 so far this year. McGee's also only one of 3 seniors across the offensive line. The kid deadlifts over 600 pounds. That's a lot, by the way, if you were wondering. And McGee, if you remember, we talked about it on this show. You remember seeing the little viral video where they made the screen go black and they put a spotlight on one offensive lineman for LSU versus Vandy? And you saw him throw down one Vanderbilt defender as a ragdoll and then turn around and do it to another? That young man that you saw likely on the Twitter doing that, by the way, that's Adrian McGee. So the kid can play. I understand it's against Vanderbilt, and the Commodores are, well, let's be fair, dreadful at football. But still, he's a senior. He's earned his way. He's played well. That's what Coach O had to say about Adrian McGee's performance versus Vandy almost a week ago.
Yeah, the more he plays in that spot, the better he's getting. And obviously, consistency has always been something that we're looking from Adrian. And he's an older guy now, and he's giving it to us.
Older guy. I don't think you're going to see Ed Ingram start. I think Ed Ingram is going to be brought in. Think of it this way. He's not going to even be wearing an LSU uniform until week 6 of the season, after the bye week's this week. He's going to get his first playing time versus Utah State right before the start of SEC play. You're not going to throw him out there. Now, if someone gets injured, maybe, but Ingram does give you depth. And you're not going to take that starter role from McGee for Ed Ingram. You're just not going to do it. As much as you believe in Ed Ingram, as much as you have faith in him, you make a move like that, you are going to polarize a locker room. Coach O knows that. He's not stupid. You do that, you're going to have a schism in your locker room because guys are going to be like, hey, man, we understand that this Ed Ingram cat, he's talented, and now he's been cleared and he's able to be reinstated into school and come back to the football team. But he didn't ride with us last year when we had a turnaround season and won 10 games. He wasn't here. He wasn't here with us in spring ball. He wasn't here during fall camp. He wasn't here on the road at Texas. You see how that works? Regardless of Ed Ingram's legal situation now being cleared and him being allowed to be reinstated at LSU, not only as a student, but as an athlete, that's great. And I'm sure they're supporting their teammate. But he wasn't there last year. And he didn't go through spring football with him. And he didn't go through summer football with him. Adrian McGee did. That's why you're going to see Ed Ingram as a backup. And let's be honest, rightfully so. Rightfully so. Coach O also talked about yesterday. Look, this offense is high-powered, fast-scoring. Where for years, you needed an 8.5-minute drive to at least put 3 points on the board if you were, you know, LSU. Now they're scoring in less than two. Joe Burrow is throwing touchdowns left and right. It's like he's just doing a 7-on-7 drill. The Joe Brady, Steve Ensminger love child offense that they are running now at LSU is sensational. It's up-tempo. It's high-powered. It's spreading you out. It has been phenomenal to watch, especially after watching just how pedestrian their offense was for years. Just so vanilla. Hey, let's keep handing the ball off to Leonard Fournette. Hey, let's keep doing that. Oh, and then you reach Alabama, and Alabama's like, yeah, you keep handing the ball off to Leonard Fournette. See how that works out. Now they have a dynamic offense. And Coach O said, they have no plans whatsoever to slow that offense down.
You know, what's different is the scoring drives averaging 1 minute and 48 seconds. So that's not a lot of rest on the sideline. So when we have a quick scoring drive, we're going to have to make sure that guys are fresh, or we may have to substitute guys. We just got to regulate that. We're not going to slow the offense down. There may be a time where we have to slow the offense down, but when you score 66 points, you got to let them go.
Score 66 points, you got to let it go. You got to love that. What about spreading the football around? You know, SEC play is going to get a little bit more difficult, right? You're not facing the likes of Northwestern State or Vanderbilt. And I know Vandy's in the SEC, but once again, they're terrible. When you start getting to the heart of your schedule in conference play, Florida, Auburn, Alabama, you're going to have to step your game up. You're going to have to play at a higher level. It's one thing to spread the ball around against Northwestern State and Georgia Southern. It's another thing entirely to have to do it against Alabama, Auburn, and others. Coach O says, just like they're not going to slow their offense down, don't expect them not to be spreading the football around the field.
Still going to spread the ball around. And obviously, the game plan may be, you know, we're going to attack this nickel back. We may attack this corner. We may attack this safety. It all depends what they give us. And I know this. I have complete confidence if they give us something, our coaching staff is going to find it.
Coach O, breaking it down. But that's not the only thing Bebe from down on the bayou had to say about his team, even though they're on a bye week. He also said yesterday, there's some moves that they're going to be making. Guys are going to be changing positions. And we'll talk all about that when we come back here after this quick timeout on RP3 and Company. You're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
The fastest offense we've seen since I've been here, even faster than Missouri. Dave and I talked about it. We're going to talk about it more tonight. We're going to have to run two huddles at our defense as fast as we can. Quarterback's a really good football player. Gets rid of the ball quick. They're a good offensive team.
That's right. You heard it. Coach O says the Utah State Aggies of the Mountain West Conference, who will be coming to town to Baton Rouge October 5th for the final non-conference game of the schedule, will be the fastest offense they have faced since Ed O has been at LSU. Let that wash over you for a second. You good? Okay, now we can continue. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. I'm your host, Raymond Parch III, and I'm joined by the producer extraordinaire, Louis Prejean. Utah State, one of the fastest teams they've ever seen. Now, could that be a little gamesmanship? Could Ed O be like, yeah. You know, could he just be trying to light a fire under his guys, especially considering that they're going to be coming off of a bye and bringing this team, welcoming this team into town for an early 11 a.m. kick? I mean, currently right now, Utah State is, they have a 62-7 win on their schedule. Now, to be fair, that was against Stony Brook, who I just found out literally 20 seconds ago had a football team. So how much stock can we take in that? I'm just being honest. Just being honest. Utah State will play Colorado State this Saturday. So Utah State did go toe-to-toe with top 25 ranked Wake Forest. Lost a shootout 38-35. Wake Forest is now in the top 25 this past week for the first time in a generation. They crushed Stony Brook and then they beat San Diego State. And there I go, knocking poor Stony Brook. Come to find out, producer extraordinaire, statistician himself, data and research analyst for RP3 and Company, Louis Prejean, says Stony Brook's 3-1, right? My bad. Now, the real question is, what level of football do they play? Are they NAIA? I have questions. Are they NAIA? Are they Division II? Are they Division I AA? Oh, they are. They're all what I still call Division I AA because I'm over the age of 40. They're in the FCS, but still, a good team from the FCS, Utah State rolls. And then they beat San Diego State. So we'll see. We'll see if this is, in fact, the fastest offense they have. If it is the fastest offense they have seen since Edo's been there, well, if they gave up touchdown strikes to Northwestern State, who had never scored touchdowns against them in the previous 11 meetings in the series history between the Demons and the Tigers, and Texas just scored at will, seemingly, in the second half, and then Vanderbilt put up 30 points. Maybe Ed O is not necessarily worried. Maybe he just wants to challenge his defense, which apparently has forgotten how to tackle. Now, you're going to hear people out there tell you, don't worry about the defense. I'm not one of those people. I'm not saying the sky is falling about the defense because they can turn it around. There's still plenty of time for them to make adjustments. Okay? But if you think for a minute that you can have that kind of poor tackling against the likes of Florida, Auburn, and Alabama and win those games, not going to happen. Not going to happen. Got to shore that up. I understand health has been a concern. I get that. Guys have been banged up, Rashard Lawrence, Benny Logan, now Michael Divinity. I get it. They're a mash unit on defense. But when you start the season with people saying all 11 guys that are on that side of the ball that are starting could be playing in the NFL in the next few years, will be playing in the NFL in the next few years, I at least want to see them tackle properly. And they don't. And it's curious. It's the most puzzling thing about this team. They are a legit national championship contender, but they don't tackle worth a damn. If I'm a high school coach, I'll watch LSU and their form on tackling, and I'm probably pulling my hair out and telling my kids, don't watch that, because that's poor. Coach O said as much, that his team, Dave Aranda, the defensive coordinator, all the defensive assistants, they are working with their guys on that side of the ball on improving tackling.
Gap fits, you know, the first one was just a gap fit. Two of the big runs were on a gap fit. Now, we lost the A gap one time, we lost the B gap the other time. And the next thing was technique on tackling. And it wasn't a matter of effort. It wasn't a matter of want to. It was a matter of fundamentals, technique, footwork, tracking, where we're going to go in the tackles. We studied 18 missed tackles yesterday, myself and some analysts. We called some people on tackling. We came back this morning. We had an extensive day on tackling. The coaches came out here. We practiced tackling with the coaches and how we're going to teach it, and we taught it today. So I do believe we'd be better.
My only question to that is, how did this happen? Like, how did your all-SEC guys, how does someone like a unanimous All-American like Grant Delpit and the rest of those guys on that defense, how did they forget how to tackle? It's a legitimate question. I'm not being a hater. I'm just asking. The biggest answer to that is, boy, they sure do look like they missed Devin White. And maybe Devin White, maybe he covered up a lot of the poor tackling efforts and techniques that the team had last year. and we just didn't notice it because Devin White could go sideline to sideline and make every single tackle on the field. Coach O also talked about Christian Fulton. You know his story. Great story being able to finally play for the team. Starting cornerback, their number one for the Tigers. Coach O said yesterday they're talking about playing him at the nickelback now to help improve that defense.
Yeah, we may do that. We can play him at nickel. We can play Cornell Flott at corner. That could be something that we will experiment with this week.
So they're experimenting with things, going through tackling drills, moving Christian Fulton to a different spot. They're trying to get things working because Coach O, a defensive coach, and Dave Aranda know they got to shore up that side of the football. We're going to take a quick timeout. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on the Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. That's, ladies and gentlemen, is what it sounds like to hear 14 strikeouts. What you could hear on television from the mic. Did you hear the ball hitting the back of the catcher's mitt over and over again? Yeah, you just saw the poor Seattle Mariners, those poor bastards. They're just in their box like, man, we're so awful. And we got to face Gerrit Cole? Like, for real? Like I have to swing my bat. This guy is just gonna throw filth at me. I can't deal with this. Skip, why you let me do this? They look lost. Some of those guys didn't even bother trying to swing their bat. They're just like, nah, man, I'm good. I don't want to strain a muscle here. Welcome back to RP3 and Company, right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. We are your home for Houston Astros baseball here in Acadiana. Once again, Gerrit Cole struck out 14 last night as the Houston Astros picked up a 3-0 win over the Seattle Mariners. Struck out 14, no walks. He won his 15th consecutive decision. It is 2019 Major League Baseball, where the ball is allegedly being juiced, where the ball is leaving the ballpark at a historic rate. And Gerrit Cole's out there striking out 14 guys, not walking a single batter, and winning his 15th consecutive game. That's what we like to call filth. Alex Bregman said of the Houston Astros ace, quote, "He's playing a video game. It's ridiculous. He pushes a button and puts it wherever he wants. It's just been insane the run he's been on. It's been a lot of fun to throw the ball around the infield after he strikes guys out," end quote. It's just been fun throwing the ball around the infield, keeping warmed, keeping stretched, because we don't really have to worry about doing anything because Gerrit Cole will take care of everything. Gerrit Cole is now 19-5 on the season. He's now unbeaten in 21 starts since losing to the Chicago White Sox back on May the 22nd. That's the last time Gerrit Cole lost a game was around Memorial Day. We're heading towards Halloween. Once again, it's 2019 Major League Baseball, and this cat is able to do what he's doing right now. He is on the longest streak of consecutive winning decisions since Toronto's Roy Halladay was 15-0 during an 18-start span way back in 2003. Cole's also set an Astros season record with 316 strikeouts, three more now than J.R. Richard's total that was set back in 1979. He also established a team record with his eighth straight game of double-digit strikeouts. The last American League pitcher with that many punch-outs in a season was Nolan Ryan, who had 341 back in 1977. I don't think Garrett's going to get to that record. He also set a big league record with his seventh start with double-digit strikeouts and no walks, moving one ahead of Clayton Kershaw, Randy Johnson, and Curt Schilling. Ridiculous. Cole will get a chance to get to 20 wins. Justin Verlander, his teammate, the number one ace on the staff for the Houston Astros, they have three of them, already hit the 20-win mark on Sunday. Garrett Cole will have an opportunity to join Verlander, a.k.a. Mr. Kate Upton, when he starts Sunday against the Los Angeles Angels in the final day of the regular season. His best season, his closest Garrett Cole's ever gotten to 20 wins was when he went 19-8 in 2015 when he was pitching for the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's what Cole had to say. Quote, ultimately, wins are a team stat. It's one of the things that I don't have as much control over as I think I do, but I'm as proud of it as probably any stat that I have. I'm looking forward to the opportunity. I think it would be really unique to have two guys win 40 games out of however many we're going to win. That would be really special, and it would be special for the guys playing behind us, end quote. Once again, I've said this before. I think Verlander's probably going to win the Cy Young, but I think it's close. And I think Garrett Cole's going to make it very close. You can't go wrong if you pick Verlander or you pick Garrett Cole. You're looking at guys that are more than likely going to finish the season both as 20-game winners. Cole striking out everyone known to man. Verlander, ERA, ridiculous. And he has a no-hitter under his belt as well. I mean, if you're a voter for the American League Cy Young, it's going to be Verlander, Cole. Cole Verlander. That's how your ballot's going to look. So either one of those guys is more than deserving. Absolutely more than deserving. Houston is now 103-54 on the year. They already clinched the AL West last weekend. They're 49 games above 500. 49 games above 500. That's for the first time in team history. It also matches last season's club for franchise wins record. And they still have games left on the schedule for the regular season. And they have maintained their lead over the New York Yankees for the top record in the American League and home field advantage throughout the American League playoffs. While Garrett Cole was absolutely dealing and continue making his case to be in the mix for the American League Cy Young Award, Alex Bregman, who obviously is a big fan of playing behind Garrett Cole, the former LSU star, is making a case for himself to be in the mix to win the American League MVP. Why? Well, because he does things like this.
That explains a lot of the value of Alex Bregman. Go ball. This could be number 40 all the way to the wall. Gone! Alex Bregman, his 40th of the year. Puts the Astros on the board first. And Abreg's run towards an MVP. MVP takes a big step here in the first game of this road trip.
That's a big one. 40 for Alex Bregman.
40th home run for Breggs, the former LSU Tiger. He's making a strong push here at the end. There's no doubt about it. Will he be able to catch Mike Trout? I don't know, but I am seeing a lot of stories. I'm seeing a lot of articles from national publications, national baseball writers, making the case for Alex Bregman as American League MVP. These are not Houston Chronicle beat reporters, okay? These are not Astro beat reporters for the Cron, okay? These are not TV people out of Houston. These are national people that are making the argument that Alex Bregman deserves to be the American League MVP. And once you start seeing that, and all the while Mike Trout, a two-time American League MVP, and I want to say he's finished as runner-up four or five times, he's injured. He's not able to finish the season. His stat line is done. and the Angels are awful. So could we see a push here where Major League Baseball, and particularly the voters for the MVP, actually award the honor to someone who's playing on a winning team? I'm not saying Mike Trout is not valuable. I'm not saying that Mike Trout is not the best player in baseball, because he is. He's the best baseball player I've seen in my lifetime since Ken Griffey Jr. I didn't get to see Mickey Mantle play. I've only seen videos. But Mike Trout appears to me to be like what was like watching Willie Mays and Mickey Mantle play in the 50s. But Mike Trout does not make the Angels a playoff team. Despite being a generational talent, Mike Trout's not able to lift them up. And it's just a weird thing that, are we really going to give an MVP award to a guy on a losing team? And just not a team hovering around 500, a team well below 500. We don't do this in football. We don't do this in the National Football League. We don't do this in the NBA. Usually it's the best player also who's helped elevate his team to be one of the best in the league gets awarded the most valuable player. And we can have a debate on what the MVP really is. Should it be broken down? Should Major League Baseball break it down, or any of the leagues break it down to most valuable player and most outstanding player? Because you could say there is a difference because of how you want to view the term valuable. Regardless, here are Breggs is, he has to be in the conversation. I think he has closed the gap. With only a handful of games left, it's really going to fall on the voters, though, if they decide that the former LSU star has done enough. And I point to this for his MVP case. The Astros dealt with a slew of injuries earlier this season. Jose Altuve was on the injured list for a month. Springer Dinger was on there for nearly a month. Carlos Carrera has missed not once but twice. He's had two stints on the IL. And when Carlos Carrera, their all-star shortstop, got injured, Bregman moved from third to short, and they didn't miss a beat. And they kept winning games. That shows you his versatility, and that shows you while Altuve, Springer, and Carrera were all out, Bregman carried this team for nearly a month. Now, is that enough to convince voters that he should be, you know, does that convince those that go with the valuable argument? If you take Mike Trout off the Angels, they probably only win 10 games. That's why he's more valuable. Well, if they didn't have Alex Bregman, would the Astros be right now in the running for the best record in the American League? Would they be setting franchise highs for wins in a season and how many games over 500? No. Bregman led this team, kept them more than afloat, kept them playing at an elite level, while Jose Altuve, a former league MVP, multiple all-star, while the all-star shortstop Carlos Carrera was out, and while multiple all-star Springer Dinger lead off home run hitter extraordinaire. Well, all three of those guys were injured. And Bregman not only did it with his bat, but he did it with his glove. 40 home runs, 109 RBIs, 118 runs scored. He's batting .295. I'm just saying. Those look like MVP award numbers for me. Now, maybe some voters say he's only 25. He can wait his turn. But I didn't think it would be close. And Bregman was in the MVP conversation in the first half of the season. I think he's back in it. He may not win it, even though I think you could make the case, deservingly so, that he should win the MVP. And I'm of the mindset that the Cy Young MVP and Rookie of the Year are all going to go to the Astros. They should. I think the Cy Young's going to go to the Astros for sure. the rookie of the year, is going to go to Yordan Alvarez, the 22-year-old Cuban phenom. I think Bregman's going to finish second, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than people once thought it would be. And I think what it's going to serve as is his coming out party, so to speak, where, hey, I finished as runner-up this year, and then those voters are going to be like, you know what, Alex Bregman is one of the best young players in the game. Expect him to be the front runner next year if he has another similar season that he's having right now. But we'll see. You can catch your Houston Astros right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We are the home for Houston Astros here. They'll be back on tonight. Game two of that set with the Mariners. So there'll be five guys' stories and lies from 6 to 8 o'clock, followed by the Coach O Show from 8 to 9. And then pregame will start at 9 o'clock, first pitch at 9:10. Astros at Mariners right here on 103.7 The Game. We got to take a quick timeout. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Talking LSU football. We talking take it back. Houston Astros. Garrett Cole striking out 14, making his case for the American League Cy Young Award, as well as Alex Bregman hitting his 40th home run of the season, making his case for MVP. Why not? Right now, though, we're going to have a new poll question I want to talk to you about. It's very simple. It's to all you LSU fans out there, all you folks that bleed the purple and gold. It's very simple. Need your vote. You'll be up on the old 1037thegame.com website. We'll have it up there for you. But I want to give you the results of yesterday's poll question. Yesterday, we asked you what is going to be the key contributing factor if the Saints want to defeat the Dallas Cowgirls on Sunday night football inside the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. Saints secondary has to play disciplined football, assignment football. Jared Cook actually has to fulfill his contract and actually play football, or, you know, have a big game. Or Teddy Bridgewater taking more shots down the field, vertical passing game. 15.4% of you said Teddy Bridgewater in the vertical passing game. 23.1% of you said Jared Cook stepping up and having a big game. But 61.5% of you agree with your host of RP3 and Company. Bless you for that. That the Saints secondary is going to have to play disciplined football. And I agree. Because Dak Prescott will chew them up and spit them out if they don't. But our new poll question is about LSU football. Very simple. Are you concerned about the poor tackling of the Tigers? Because Coach O is. Dave Aranda is. And people that really follow the team are. The poor tackling, it's one thing to be tired. It's one thing to have to be out on the field more because of the high-powered, up-tempo offense that the Tigers are throwing out there week in and week out. But not being able to tackle? Very simple question, Tiger fans. We'll tweet out a link as well. Are you concerned about the poor tackling from LSU's defense? Yes or no? Go vote right now at 1037thegame.com. We got to take our final time out of this hour. RP3 and Company coming back right after this on 103.7 The Game. Good morning. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game. We are broadcasting from the lovely 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. We've had a good show so far. Hope to make it great in this hour. We appreciate you making us part of your morning commute. We've talked LSU football so far. We've talked Houston Astros baseball. Once again, Garrett Cole, 14 strikeouts last night. Woo! 300 strikeouts. More than 300 strikeouts for the season now. He's got one more start on the schedule for him. Let's see if he can get to 20 wins. Alex Bregman hits his 40th home run in the 3-0 victory over the Seattle Mariners last night, increasing his chances of hopefully winning the American League MVP. We broke that down. We also have a new poll question out there for you in case you missed it. It's available right now at 1037thegame.com. You can go there and vote on it. You know Coach O is concerned. You know Dave Aranda is concerned. They're working at correcting the tackling issue. My question to you, there, members of the Bayou Bengal Nation, are you concerned about the poor tackling from LSU's defense? Yes or no? Poor tackling an issue? Yes or no? Very simple, straightforward poll question. You can go to 1037thegame.com and vote on that right now. Coming up, we'll talk more LSU football, though, when the voice of the LSU Tigers, Chris Blair, joins us live at 7:32. That's coming up. But right now, it's time for us, and we haven't done this in a while, so whew, got to make sure the tank is filled up, make sure we had an oil change, pressure's right in the tires, because it's time for us to take a trip around the state and beyond. It's time for a Louisiana wrap-up.
Let's put the spotlight on the boot. It's time for the Louisiana wrap-up.
Good morning, Ray. It's your producer, Louis Prejean here.
I know. Good morning, Louis. How are you?
We haven't talked in a while. I was just, you know, fact-checking and doing all that about Stony Brook. Big Stony Brook fan, but no Louisiana players on Stony Brook that I know of. So right now in the Louisiana wrap-up, we're going to look across the country at some Louisiana ties.
That's right. It's an NFL edition of the Louisiana wrap-up.
That's right. I'm looking at all these NFL ties that are happening right now with Louisiana players. And first off, we got to head to Detroit. But, Ray, why are we heading to Detroit?
Oh, we're going to the Motor City because a former Raging Cajun star, Tracy Walker, continues to make a name for himself in the National Football League. The free safety, the starting free safety for the Detroit Lions, now in his second season there, is second in the NFL in solo tackles 3 weeks into the season. He has 21 solo tackles. He's second in the NFL in solo tackles. He also, in addition to that, besides being a tackling machine, which we know from his time spent anchoring the secondary for the Raging Cajuns, he also has 3 pass breakups, 2 tackles for a loss, and 1 interception. Oh, by the way, the Detroit Lions are 3-0. So congratulations to Tracy Walker to having the tremendous start to his second season in the NFL. Boy, it's making a lot of teams look silly, like why they didn't take him earlier. Well, he was there on the board round after round after round. Detroit wisely, though, selected him, and he's made an instant impact for currently your undefeated Detroit Lions. So congratulations to the former Raging Cajun star.
Absolutely, and I'm no expert, Ray, but I would say Tracy Walker is the sole reason that the Lions are undefeated right now.
I like that. That's the sole reason. Free safety, sole reason. I love it. But congrats to Tracy, though. He's having a tremendous year so far.
Now we got to head out to the East Coast for Charlotte. Well, Ray, why are we in Charlotte?
Oh, why wouldn't we be in Charlotte? Let's start there. A beautiful country. Beautiful country over there. But we're going to talk a little Carolina Panthers football because former LSU star Dante Jackson had himself a hell of a ball game, helping the Carolina Panthers to a 38-20 win over the Arizona Cardinals. It was the Panthers' first win of the season. No Cam Newton. They had to go with the backup, Kyle Allen. And Dante Jackson was just like, you know what, bro? I got this. 5 tackles, all solos. Oh, by the way, he had not one but 2 interceptions in the game, including one sensational. I didn't even realize humans could jump that high in the air. He jumped. You can find it online. You can find it in the Twitterverse of Dante Jackson's interception last weekend against the Arizona Cardinals. He literally jumps like 5 feet off the ground and grabs the ball and pulls it in. Phenomenal performance. D-Jack showed his abilities last year as a rookie. He's taking that next step this year for the Carolina Panthers. The former LSU star, a playmaker in the secondary there under Coach Corey Raymond, doing his thing at the next level. And once again, just helps solidify LSU's reputation of being DBU. Because it's not about how great they perform in college, because most of them do, but it's how so many of these guys go on to the next level and are dominant defensive backs in the National Football League, and they don't need years to become that. They're usually that within the first couple years. Dante Jackson, two interceptions in the Carolina Panthers' victory over the weekend. So congratulations to the former LSU Tiger.
Our next stop, Ray, holds a special place in my heart, as you know.
Oh, special.
And that's with the New York Jets. So why are we in New York, Ray?
Well, there's not a lot to like about the New York Jets this year, right? I mean, they're awful. They're just awful. The starting quarterback has mono. How are you a grown-up and getting mono? I don't understand how that works. I'm not for sure, and I'm sure you'll tell me all about it, Lewis, off the air about how this is possible that you're the starting quarterback of an NFL franchise and you're getting mono. So they're a dumpster fire. Adam Gase, crazy eyes. He didn't look like he could coach for the Miami Dolphins, and he doesn't look like he can coach for the New York Jets. And they're awful. And they lost to their rival, the New England Patriots, 30-14 in convincing fashion last week. They're now 0-3 for the season. But Jamal Adams, one of the best young defensive backs in the National Football League, an absolute monster when he was at LSU. He was one of the few bright spots for the Jets in that game, Lewis, as you know, because we know how much you love the New York Jets. He was one of the bright spots as he had a pick six off of Tom Brady. That's right, the GOAT. He picked off the GOAT and then ran it back for a score. So that was one of the few highlights from the Jets game versus the New England Patriots. But congrats to the former LSU Tiger, Jamal Adams, for getting the pick six off the GOAT.
Ray, I can't let this Sam Darnold slander slide by without me having to say something. Sam Darnold's 22 years old, right?
Okay.
According to medicalnewstoday.com,
here we go.
People aged 15 to 24 years are most likely to develop the classic symptoms of mono.
Okay.
So Sam Darnold falls right in that range.
Wow. So, well, interesting. Does that website also explain if you get mono, you turn over the ball much more than you should? Because if that's the case, then he had it back at USC.
Yeah, that was before mono. He was doing all that. All right, let's stay in New York. We're going to Buffalo, Ray.
Oh, you got to go. Oh, Bill's Mafia, is that, you know, I guess that's a real thing. I've been to Buffalo. It was a lovely experience. So Buffalo is actually one of the bigger surprising teams of the season so far. They're undefeated, just like Detroit is, 3-0. And now I know it's early. They have a very stout defense. We know that. They've started off great this season. And a big part of that is because they have, I hate to say this, yet another star from LSU in their secondary. And that's Tre'Davious White. They're coming off their 3-0. They welcome the New England Patriots this weekend. That's going to be a huge game this Sunday. Patriots at Bills, undefeated Pats at undefeated Bills. The Bills, of course, have the longstanding losing streak to the Patriots, and they can never get over the hump. But this Bills team is led by its defense, and Tre'Davious White is coming off a game where he got not one, but two interceptions. Last week was a good week for former LSU defensive backs, Lewis, is basically what I'm telling you, because all three guys that I mentioned all had interceptions, at least one. And Dante Jackson, Tre'Davious White had two, while Jamal Adams only had one, but he did have the pick six. So Tre'Davious White anchors the back end of that defense. He is a Pro Bowl caliber kind of player. He's just that good. Adams, White, and Dante Jackson all played at LSU at the same time. Think about that.
It'd be great to have him now.
They know how to tackle. I can guarantee you that.
New poll question up. 1-3-7 the game.
But yes, but congratulations to Tre'Davious White helping the Buffalo Bills. And of course, the lovely Bills Mafia to a tremendous 3-0 start to the season with his two picks in last week's win. That sets up an undefeated matchup with the New England Patriots this Sunday.
And that is our last stop in the Louisiana wrap-up. Right.
There it is.
Tremendous. You built up your air miles, your air travel miles up, you know. Congratulations.
Bus miles, Amtrak.
A lot of...
We go all the... Look, we go Viking ship. we go train, we go covered wagon. You know, whatever, however we can get there, Lewis, is what we do with the Louisiana wrap-up.
I was about to say, by any means necessary, yes, we're going to get this out to the public that the LSU defensive impact is lasting in the NFL. If only it was lasting in the first four games and
if
the
only,
rest of the season.
If only those guys could teach the younger guys how to tackle.
Hey, give them a call.
Just saying.
And you know what? Give us a call. Our co-equipment hotline, 706-011.
Yes, we'd love to hear from you if you're concerned about LSU's poor tackling so far through the start of this season. You can let us know. Dial our co-equipment hotline, 337-706-0111. We're going to talk a little LSU basketball when we come back after this break. You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Raymond Parch III. Louis Prejean is the producer extraordinaire, and you are listening to RP3 and Company. We did our tremendous Louisiana wrap-up. Wow. Louis and I just got in the car, and we just were bebopping outside of the state of Louisiana, but visiting people with strong ties to the state of Louisiana. Now, we're going to shift the conversation, though, right back here, a little closer to home. Go across the basin over to Baton Rouge. LSU men's basketball team. Season will be starting in no time at all. Practice has thus already begun. Will Wade spoke to the media earlier this week about a litany of things, about mainly basketball, but of course someone had to ask him about, you know, football and let him rant about the media. We're not going to spend time on that nonsense, just letting you know. And whoever asked that question, do better. Do better. Basketball coach talking about the football teams are irrelevant. Got a little angry there, didn't I, Lewis? Got a little angry. Woo, a little too angry for 7:20 in the morning. Got to calm it down. Bring it down a level. But this is what the formerly embattled head coach of the LSU men's basketball team. He's got a lot of guys coming back. He's got some stars returning. He's got Skylar Mays. He's got Javonte Smart. He's got Emmett Williams. He's got some vets coming back. Plus, he's got a nice mixture of guys that they brought in with this latest recruiting class. And Coach Wade, look, he likes the group that they're going to put out on the floor.
I like our group. We're progressing. It's going to be a challenge. You know, we're a talented group. We got a good team. Just can we do some of the little things? Can we handle some of the details? Can we make some of the toughness plays that we made last year down the stretch in games? I think that's the biggest question we have as we move into practice here. We have plenty of skill. We have better shooting. We've got good enough players. But can we do a lot of little things? Can we get loose balls? Can we get stops? Can we stop runs by having good offensive possession? Some of the traits that last year's team was able to develop as the season went on.
So there's still some question marks. But you do have Skylar Mays and Javonte Smart that's going to provide you the leadership, as will Emmett Williams. Marlon Taylor, he can jump out the gym as well. But they're going to need guys to step up. You're going to need someone to fill that Cavell Bigby Williams role, glue guy that was able to provide leadership on and off the floor. So we'll see. I mean, I think Skylar Mays is going to be your leader. I think he was already kind of the leader last year. Their post play is going to be interesting if they're going to change that, because they had two bigs last year in Bigby Williams and Nas Reed. They don't have that this year. So it'll be interesting to see how different the LSU men's basketball team is this year as it compared to last year. You know, they took a trip to Spain. I have yet to confirm if it was, in fact, courtesy with the Goulet family and Red Ships of Spain that took their voyage over there. But they did take a trip to Spain and got to play against some international competition. Also get to do some team building, so to speak, get to bond, develop a rapport, figure out what's working, what's not going to be working early on, what they need to kind of, what players need to be developed and what aspects of their game need to be nurtured, so to speak. This is what Will Wade had to say about that trip to Spain and the usage of Javonte Smart and Skylar Mays during that trip.
Yeah, we played Javonte and Skylar a little bit more in the one game against Dominican, but all the rest of them, we didn't play them. nearly as much. We wanted to see how those younger guys did. I thought Charles Manning was phenomenal. You know, Trendon led us in scoring, and Bishop had his moment. So I think we got a lot out of the trip from those guys, just understanding where they are and what we need to improve on and what we need to get better on. And now we've got to fine-tune things as we start practice. We're certainly ahead of where we would have been if we hadn't been on the trip, and now we've just got to, you know, but does us no good to have that advantage if we can't press that advantage and continue to move forward, continue to get better.
I said it when they made the trip before they made the trip. That's the whole reason you do that if you're Will Wade. You could care less about having your team experience the culture of a foreign country. Yeah, maybe you care a little bit about that, okay? Maybe you care a little bit about that, but it's all about getting those extra reps for your guys, seeing them practice against competition and seeing them play against other competition that's not them. And you can figure out, you get a jump start on what you need to work on once you hit camp. It gives you an advantage in that regard. And as shrewd of a coach as Will Wade is, and make no doubt bones about it, okay? You don't have to like him, but he is shrewd. And he knew good and well taking this trip to Spain was going to be beneficial for his team, especially after losing guys from last year's team. Now, when they made the plans to make the trip, he probably thought he'd be losing a couple more guys, but Javonte Smart and Skylar Mays decided to stay. Speaking of Skylar Mays, he's going to be the leader of this team. He had a phenomenal season last year. I want to say Skylar is a medical student. So basketball is a passion of his. He's got the right demeanor. He's definitely got the right demeanor to be the leader on the floor for a Will Wade coach team who, let's be honest, he can be a little animated and beside himself. Skylar's a good kind of balancing that out on the floor, and his teammates respond to him immensely. And this is what Coach Wade had to say about his star guard.
He's everything. He's everything you want. You know, he does everything right. He does it all right the first time. He's, you know, he's really kind of growing into a leader this year more. He's not going to be the most vocal leader, but he leads by example. It's one of those things where in the past I didn't really, you don't really want to put too much on him because you want him to kind of handle his own business and not have to worry about everybody else. But he wants his senior year to go extremely, extremely well. He cares about, he likes kind of what Billy was saying. He likes all of our guys. He cares about our guys. He wants them to have a smooth transition, which will in turn help him have a great senior year. But he's just a tremendous, tremendous player, tremendous leader, tremendous teammate, tremendous worker. Every good description you'd use to describe somebody that's a high, high-level person you use to describe him. But he means everything to our team, to our program, and we're excited to do the best we can for him this senior year and send him out well, along with Marshall and Marlon and the rest of the guys.
Along with the rest of the guys. Now, one of those guys is going to be Emmett Williams, and his role will expand this year for certain. That goes without saying. And just how good could Emmett Williams be? And could he continue to be further developed and be even more of an impact player that LSU will definitely need him to be in the upcoming 2019-20 campaign? That's what Coach Way had to say about Williams.
Emmett's been very, very consistent. He's been very, very dependable. He's worked extremely, extremely hard. I think his game's taken off because of that. You know, he's very aggressive. He does a great job rebounding the ball, does a tremendous job on the offensive glass, along with Darius Days. Both those guys have really, really improved. But Emmett's put in the work. You know, his jump shot's quite a bit better because he's put time into it and worked on it. And he's taken it extremely, extremely seriously. Not that he didn't take it seriously last year, but he just understands what's ahead of him now, what we've got coming. And I think it's been very beneficial.
Been very beneficial. So LSU basketball, men's basketball team, getting back to work as we speak. We'll see if they can replicate their Sweet 16 success from a season ago. When we come back here on RP3 and Company, the voice of the LSU Tigers will join us, Chris Blair, live right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Good morning. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. We appreciate you making us part of your morning. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. And we also are simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. That's free over there, 24-hour sports coverage. And you can find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. We've talked LSU football today. Broke down what Coach O had to say and the whatnot. It is the bye week. But even though it's the bye week and our next guest could take it easy on us, he didn't. And he doesn't, because he's a hard-working man, and we appreciate his time. He is the voice of the LSU Tigers, and he does join us live now on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. It's our good friend, the one and only Chris Blair. Chris, good morning to you, brother.
Good morning. Hey, I'm not that hard-working, I can tell you that. Appreciate those kind sentiments, but I said a long time ago, having grown up in the coal mining country of eastern Kentucky, I could be down in a coal mine somewhere, so I'm very lucky.
I hear you on that, brother. I hear you on that. Well, Chris, let's get right to it. Your thoughts on what you saw there in Nashville. We'll talk about the fans that flocked to Nashville and made Vanderbilt's stadium essentially a miniature version of Tiger Stadium. I want to get your thoughts on that. But tell me what your thoughts on what you saw from the play from LSU this past Saturday in Nashville.
Well, it was another Saturday afternoon and another 60-plus points. I don't know that you can wrap it up any more than that. It was an impressive display, once again, by this Tiger offense led by Joe Burrow. You know, give Vanderbilt some credit. They scored 24 points on offense. They got 14 points, you know, with some miscues offensively with a fumble and the interception and pick six. But, you know, it was one of those games that, you know, pretty early on, they got down 7-0. Again, I thought Vanderbilt came out, put together a well-designed and well-executed drive to start the ball game. And then the football got put in the hands of Joe Burrow, and then the game was pretty much over very soon after that. You know, LSU just scoring with every possession to start that ball game, got up by 21 points. And really, it never was in doubt. I know it was 38-17 at the half. You know, Vanderbilt tried to get something going there with the quick onside kick to start the third quarter. It would turn out Micah Baskerville would ramble down 3 yards shy of returning the onside kick for a touchdown. And that was kind of, I thought, the last real shot for Vanderbilt to try to climb back in the game. LSU would then turn and score real quickly, and suddenly with just mere seconds off the third quarter clock, it was back to a dominating, lopsided score for LSU. So, you know, all in all, there were some things, obviously, to clean up defensively. Still a lot of missed tackles out there, which I know just absolutely befuddles Coach O. You know, but again, the good news is, I know it sounds like a broken record because I've said it now for 3 weeks, but, you know, those things can be corrected. It seems to be, I'm not sure if it's scheme combined with the missed tackling that has the defense at times misfiring. It'll be interesting to see this week, and obviously when they get back to game week next week for Utah State, you know, are they going to change personnel in certain positions, or are they going to change schematically? So, you know, I think that's probably the biggest bulk of work. The offense is going to continue to try to improve each and every week. But as the season gets deeper, the challenges get tougher. You know, I think there still is a little bit of concern. I'm still on the fence as far as, you know, this defense, you know, being good or not being good. I'm still optimistic. You got too much talent there and one of the best coordinators in the country. I think they'll be just fine. But they've got some work to do to clean that up.
We're talking with Chris Blair. He's the voice of the LSU Tigers. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Chris, and I want to talk about that defense. I think I agree with you. I think it's too early to tell whether or not they're good or not, or if they're bad. Part of it obviously has to do with being on the field more for more plays because of the offense being so productive and doing it in such a quick fashion. I also think, I'm just going to be honest with you, I think they missed Devin White a little bit. I mean, when you have a guy that played sideline to sideline and was the first Dick Butkus Award winner in school history, I know they have talent on that side of the ball, but you're going to miss that guy, and it's going to take a while for you to be able to replace what he was able to bring to the team, especially on the field.
I agree with both those points. The third point I would add is that, you know, there's really not been a solid game except maybe Georgia Southern, even though you had some guys who did not play by coach's decision. You're still battling some injuries.
Right.
You know, in the Texas game, you missed some of your key guys who also maybe had started the game but then got banged up as the game went along. You had some guys that went out and did not play against Northwestern State. And then, unfortunately, up front, in that front seven, you know, you're still without Glenn Logan, who I thought had really come into his this year with a chance to really raise his stock at defensive end. And then you know what you get with Rashard Lawrence. So now you've had 2 weeks without those guys anchoring the defensive front. You've had Michael Divinity in and out. The good news is, even though he was banged up last Saturday, Coach O said yesterday he should be fine. So, you know, that's all those, the two reasons you mentioned, and then that third to me is why I still am optimistic that this is going to be a solid defense for LSU. And, you know, to your point about, you know, scoring quickly, you know, it's one of those things that Coach O had talked about. Coach Aranda had talked about going back to spring football. It's just something they're going to have to adjust to. I think I give credit to Coach O. I mean, this is the offensive identity of LSU, and I don't think it's going back anytime soon to anything but what we've seen. You know, 28 of the 35 scoring drives, I should say. That's 28 of 35 drives for LSU in 4 weeks of football have come under 3 minutes. They had 27 under 3 minute drives all of last year, which was, you know, 13 games. So, you know, you had a couple of one play drives last Saturday. You've had a ton of, you know, under a minute to a minute 15 drives. But, you know, it's not one of those things that I think they're going to be in the meeting rooms going, all right, guys, we're going to slow this offense down to help our defense catch a breath. That's just not going to happen. So LSU's got to find a way to adjust to that. And then again, I think the big point is they've got to get everybody healthy. And, you know, as soon as that happens, then I think you can make a clear judgment as we get deeper into the season as to where this defense really is.
We're speaking with Chris Blair he is the voice of the LSU Tigers, rather. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Chris, Coach O made the announcement yesterday that they're going to start trying out Christian Fulton at nickelback. What do you think of that decision?
Well, I think that, you know, obviously he's a talent and he's experienced. And, you know, it goes back to my point earlier about, you know, how much of it is scheme and how much is it personnel. You know, they got a little depleted in the defensive backfield going into the season. And, you know, now with the loss of Todd Harris, who was at safety, you immediately had to start trying to find who would step into his role. And Kerry Vincent right now is the obvious heir apparent. But how do you get stronger in that defensive secondary? Well, I think one of the things you obviously would look at is a talented and experienced guy to move to that nickel position. You know, it may put a lot of pressure. You've had a great, great season so far with Derek Stingley, a true freshman, and they've been high on Cordell Flott, you know, since he arrived on campus. And he's seen some really significant snaps so far at cornerback in place of Fulton. So, you know, I think that, you know, you're taking a risk there, because now there's going to be situations against some pretty good receivers and pretty good quarterbacks as the season goes on with two freshman corners. But I follow up by saying, if you had to go out there with two freshman corners, I don't know that you could find two better than Flott and Stingley. So, you know, I think they're probably thinking that the upside to having Fulton roaming the field in that nickel position, you know, sometimes assigned to a good slot receiver, is more of an upside than putting two true freshmen out there on the corner.
We're talking with Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Let's go to the offensive side of the ball, Chris. Let's talk about, you know, Terrace Marshall. He's going to get banged up. He's not going to miss the rest of the season, but he's going to have to miss some games. He's going to miss some time. He was having a tremendous breakout season. But Coach O announced yesterday that they're going to bring Sullivan back on to the outside. I guess that's a direct move of, A, wanting to get Sullivan on the field because they believe he's talented enough, but also to help with the injury to Marshall, yes?
Oh, absolutely. That's 100% spot on. You know, the good news is you come in with Sullivan, as you pointed out, a guy who had played on the outside who have kind of morphed into this tight end hybrid position. But you've had some pretty solid play, and I still think there's more to find out of Thaddeus Moss if he stays healthy this season. So you feel pretty good at tight end. You've had Pettigrew come in a couple of times in the tight end spot. So you still have some depth at the tight end position. And because of the loss of Terrace Marshall, who, you know, I feel for the young man. I mean, came out of high school with an injury and got himself almost back to full form at the end of last season and then came into 2019 just absolutely on fire. And, you know, I just feel for him having to be sidelined again by injury. But as you said, hopefully we'll see him back sooner than later. I think Sullivan's a nice piece that you can simply plug in there for that spot. He's got good speed. He runs good routes. And he's a big target. And he's going to cause some trouble. You know, we mentioned before the year that in that tight end position, he was going to be a defensive coordinator's nightmare. It may be a little more obvious now that he's on the outside of the formation, but he's still not an easy person to guard.
We're talking with Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. All right, Chris, let's switch it up a little bit here. Utah State, Coach O is already telling us, he told us yesterday that this may be the fastest offense that he has seen since he's been at LSU. What do the Aggies know, and I know you've already done your advanced kind of scouting on that for the game on October 5th, is that legit, or is Coach O just kind of puffing them up a little bit?
No, I think that we're all going to find out, especially next week when there's more of a focus on the opponent. Tiger fans are going to see firsthand when they go and try to catch some film and just look at the sheer numbers. I mean, Utah State is a well-oiled machine when it comes to offense. You know, they've been doing what they've been doing for a number of years now, and they just simply plug in new people, you know, as kids graduate and move on. And they do what they do very, very, very well. And, you know, I think this is a very stiff challenge for LSU prior to jumping into that gauntlet of the conference, you know, the following week. They're a team that, you know, it's one of those when you hear it a lot in basketball. You hear about a school that maybe doesn't have all the four-star and five-star blue-chip athletes, but they have a system, and the system they run, number one, is difficult to defend, and number two, they're very good at operating it. To me, that's where the Aggies of Utah State fall in. And it's going to be another tough challenge and a good opportunity in non-conference play for Dave Aranda and this defense to try to correct some of the issues that they will see again down the road in conference matchups.
One final question for Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. All right, Chris, no football game this weekend. So what are your plans, brother? Are you just going to chill, recharge those batteries for the month of October? What you got planned for this weekend, my friend?
Well, Friday night I'm going to have anniversary dinner with my wife. We celebrate our 20th anniversary today. She is actually out of town on business, so when she gets back, we're going to have a nice dinner on Friday. And then Saturday I'm going to be on the patio most of the day. The griddle will be on, and I'll probably make breakfast, and I'll probably make lunch, and then I'll probably make dinner Saturday night. And my son and I, who's 14 years old, will probably get to spend one of those few weekends watching college football together.
Well, that sounds tremendous, my man. That sounds tremendous. Well, you enjoy the weekend off, my friend, and we'll talk to you next week, Chris.
Thanks, Ray. Have a good week.
That's Chris Blair, voice of the LSU Tigers, joining us there on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. We got to take just a quick – we got to step away just for a quick moment. Don't fret. Don't turn that dial. We'll be back with more illuminating sports discussion. Is that – Lewis, did I use that right? You're in college. Is that the right way of using it? You're listening to RP3 and Company right here on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Raymond Parch III. He is Lewis Prejean, producer extraordinaire. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Just wrapped up a tremendous conversation with the voice of the LSU Tigers, Chris Blair. He says he you heard it from him. He still doesn't know if this defense is good or if it's or not. He still thinks it's too early to tell. Is it still the defense making the adjustment of being on the field more? Injuries are also playing an issue. And I brought it up to him. I brought it up to Chris, and he agreed. They missed Devin White. That's not a knock on the linebackers that they have, but Devin White was special. And he was a leader on and off the field. And not to say that they don't have leadership on that side of the ball, but you have to replace the Dick Butkus Award winner and a guy who went sideline to sideline on nearly every single play. It looks like, to me, yes, injuries are playing a role. Yes, having to be out on the field more is playing a role. But it looks like, to me, they miss Devin White. And they're struggling to find someone of his caliber to replace him, which is to be expected. The guy won the Dick Butkus Award. It's not like those guys just grow on trees, right? They just don't. So, be interesting to see if they can make adjustments. But you heard Coach O, he talked about it. Him and Randa, they're working on tackling drills during their bye week. Because I can guarantee you those missed tackles, that angers Coach O. And that angers Dave Aranda. They don't care for that whatsoever. That actually angers them like it's nobody's business. Those are both defensive-minded guys. Those are guys who are defense-first guys. And to see their players not wrap up someone properly and not use the proper technique to tackle someone at that level with the expectations that they have this year and everything in front of them that's right there in front of them to hold on to and to get after and to win a championship and to have their guys not freaking tackle? Yeah. They're chapped about it. I can guarantee you that. And those players on defense are getting a whole lot of a mouthful day in and day out. It is after four games in the season and LSU is needing to take time out to practice tackling. Woof. We asked you, what do you think about the LSU tackling issues on defense? Do you think they're actual issues? Are you concerned about these issues? That's our latest poll question. It's right now available at 1037thegame.com. Are you concerned about the tackling issues? Are you worried about them? Yes or no? Yes or no? Right now, 66% of the vote says yes, that you are concerned about the poor tackling from LSU's defense. Only 33.3% of you say no. We'll keep you updated on our latest poll question. Hour number two is in the books. Woo! We got the Georgia Southern UL feels all up in the 8 o'clock hour. Billy Napier coming up at 8:32. But we got Mike Anthony first up deck from the Statesboro Herald newspaper. He covers Georgia Southern. He'll join us live. Give us a little behind enemy lines look at the Eagles right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. Good morning. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station 103.7 The Game. I am your host, Raymond Parch III. I am joined in the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing by my producer extraordinaire, the one and only Louis Prejean. We are simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. You can also find us on LUS Fiber 133 and 1133 in high definition. We spent a lot of time today talking about LSU football. It's our poll question. Are you concerned about the poor tackling by LSU, yes or no? Overwhelmingly, yes. But on the social media, on the Twitter, on the tweeter machine, as some people call it, people are like, nah, they're going to play their best football later in the year. But you still need to know how to tackle. And I would much rather prefer to see LSU know how to tackle now than have to wait to learn that on the fly against Alabama. Just saying. Just saying. But keep the comments coming. Keep the votes coming as well. Like I said, we talked a lot of LSU. We talked a lot of Houston Astros baseball and much more. But now it's time for us to focus in on the big matchup this weekend between the UL Raging Cajuns and the Eagles of Georgia Southern. That'll take place in Statesboro. Conference opener. Huge game for both teams as UL is 3-1 and the Eagles are looking, coming off a 10-win season a year ago in a bowl victory. So it's time for us now to get a look at the opponent for the Raging Cajuns as we head out to the Arco Equipment Hotline. He's joined us before, He's kind enough to make more time for us now a few weeks later. It's the one and only from the Statesboro Herald, the Georgia Southern beat writer himself, Mike Anthony. Mike, good morning to you, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well. Glad to be back.
All right, man, let's start right with the beginning. Wirtz, Shane Wirtz, the star quarterback for Georgia Southern, got injured again in the opener against LSU and has been nursing that injury for a few weeks now. I know all reports are that he's going to be back starting, but his backup did a really good job in his absence, and it looks like nearly pulled off a win over Minnesota, I do believe. So what can you tell us about the quarterback situation with the Eagles?
Yeah, the injury reports have been slow in coming out from the coaching staff, especially with the bye week last week. They kind of went dark. As you mentioned, all reports are that he's been making progress. I mean, I can tell you that he's been in practice. He suited up. The official word from Georgia Southern head coach Chad Lunsford is that, you know, he's been a participant in practice. He's doing the things that they've wanted him to do, and you can read what you want into that. I would say that you're right. All indications are that, you know, he's going to be ready to go on Saturday. I don't know if that means that he's ready to go for all four quarters. You know, again, as you mentioned, Justin Tomlin has been very capable as the backup. I think that a lot of the panic set in when Wirtz went down at LSU, because when Tomlin was forced into that game, he had had one career snap, and everybody else who might take a snap for the Eagles has zero career snaps. So they were really flying blind, not really knowing what they could expect out of their offense, Wirtz out of the game. But I think they've seen over the last two games that while Wirtz is still the starter, he's still the guy. He's been there for 2 years. This will be his third year as a starter. They at least now have, you know, a reliable backup that they can open up the playbook with and not have to get really limited in what they can do if Wirtz is forced out again.
We're talking with Mike Anthony of the Statesboro Herald. He covers Georgia Southern. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Tell me a little bit about that game where the team nearly pulled off an upset of a team out of the Big Ten, brother. Was that as close as the final score indicated, or was that some scores late that kind of closed the gap?
Well, I mean, it was a little bit of both. Minnesota, they did a pretty good job of limiting the Georgia Southern offense, again, with the backup Tomlin in the game. I think, you know, just from my perspective watching the game, Minnesota did their best to eliminate any of those option pitches out to the boundary that can get big yards. They tried to eliminate the throws over the top. They were basically forcing Georgia Southern to run Tomlin and any other running backs into the middle of the defense and try to limit the yardage there. And they were able to do so. The offense didn't get much going. They had a couple of sustained drives, but they had a couple of turnovers that really hurt them. That allowed Minnesota to build a double-digit lead. But then in the fourth quarter, it was the defense and special teams. Georgia Southern blocked a field goal attempt and returned it the whole way for a touchdown. Then on the next drive, you know, late in the fourth quarter, they get a strip sack and a fumble recovery that goes the whole way back for a touchdown to put them in the lead. And that might have actually been their undoing, because the defense had been on the field for so long that with a few minutes left, Minnesota got one last chance. They converted a third and forever, or turned into a fourth and short, and managed to convert that, marched down the field, scored with just a few seconds left. So, you know, overall, if you look at the stats, Minnesota probably should have had an easier time in winning that game. Yet Georgia Southern, they were there the whole way. They didn't quit. They made the bigger plays of the two teams on the day. It just wasn't quite enough at the end.
We're talking with Mike Anthony of the Statesboro Herald. He covers Georgia Southern athletics. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. All right, Mike, we know all about Wirtz. He's got the name recognition. I know he's the quarterback of this version, this variation of the triple option offense. We talked about it for the season opener against LSU on this show. But give me some other guys on the offensive side of the ball that Raging Cajun fans need to pay attention to that could play a huge impact in Saturday's game.
Yeah, well, right now I'm dealing with an academic suspension for Wesley Kennedy. He's probably the most versatile guy on this offense as far as being able to run and catch the ball. But without him in the lineup, you know, they're looking to a couple of big power backs, you know, bigger than you usually see in a triple option offense. You're used to seeing, you know, some
Looks like we lost Mike there momentarily. I was asking Mike Anthony of the Statesboro Herald about who are some other impact players on the offensive side of the ball, not named Shane Wirtz, their star quarterback, that could play a huge role in Saturday's game versus UL, big Sun Belt tilt that'll be at 5 o'clock this Saturday. Mike, before we lost you, brother, you were talking about, I had asked you, some other players that could play a huge impact in this Saturday's game that Raging Cajun fans need to pay attention to, and you were telling us who those were.
Yeah, the triple option, it can be an elusive offense, apparently so elusive that it eluded the phone connection there. But Georgia Southern, you know, works. He can do a lot, especially if he's healthy. One of their main weapons is Wesley Kennedy III, but unfortunately he's out with an academic suspension. He won't be able to get in the action until next week. So now you look to some bigger backs than you usually see in a triple option attack. You think of smaller track guys who can burn you around the edge. Instead, Georgia Southern's really been leaning on guys like Logan Wright, J.D. King. Both of them go over 200 pounds. They've got a little bit of speed if they get into the open field, but really they can wear on defenses. And I think you saw a little bit in the main game where they were really able to get the offense going. And in the fourth quarter, in the heat, you know, it's a little bit different tackling a 210-pound running back than, you know, trying to track down a 170-pounder trying to run around you.
We're talking with Mike Anthony of the Statesboro Herald. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. All right, Mike, talk to me about defense. What makes this Eagles defense go? Who are the players?
Yeah, I really think that that's the most interesting matchup of this this game. When you think of Georgia Southern, you think rushing offense, but really it's Louisiana that's been lighting everything on fire with their rushing, 18 rushing touchdowns, leading the nation so far. And that's what's going to be the most interesting matchup, is it's going to be strength on strength. You know, the Eagles have had a couple of tough losses, but it's come against a great passing attack at LSU, a Minnesota team with two probably NFL caliber wide receivers that they leaned on to make the sticks move and score the points. And really what it's been is the rushing defense is where the Eagles have really shown on that side of the ball. So it's going to be interesting to see with their 3-4 defense what they can do with their middle linebackers. They've got Raynard Ellis and Rashad Byrd. Rashad Byrd, you know, a senior who's a veteran captain of this defense. And then Raynard Ellis, who's a transfer from Furman. He sat out last year during his transfer year, but 94 tackles at Furman as a freshman, and he's looked every bit the part of a captain in waiting. Those two guys running amok, taking down ball carriers, if they can get free and get their eyes on the Louisiana ball carriers, it's going to be interesting to see who can come out on top.
We're wrapping things up here with Mike Anthony of the Statesboro Herald. He joins us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Okay, Mike, what's the buzz about alike there in Statesboro about this game, about this Raging Cajuns team specifically that's 3-1 and is coming off an impressive road win at Ohio?
Yeah, everybody's really up for this game in Statesboro. It's been a weird couple of weeks to begin the season. You have the daunting task of going into Death Valley to begin the year at LSU. After that, you know, you play an FCS team, a good FCS team, but an FCS team in Maine. Then you go right back into the Power Five and on the road, and then a bye week. So this is kind of Georgia Southern settling into what the season's going to be. They've got high expectations despite the two losses already. They believe that they can contend for a Sun Belt championship. However, they also know that with the way the schedule breaks down and the way the Eastern Division looks like, there's really not a lot of margin for error, and they know that you know, Louisiana, they're one of the biggest question marks on the schedule as far as games that they think they can win, games that, you know, they probably were pretty iffy on. Louisiana is one of the few that's right in the middle of, if they play a good game, they think that they can get a big win that will be something they can promote for the rest of the season, something they can build momentum on. If they lose, now they're in, you know, not panic mode, but 1-3, you're trying to figure out a way to a bowl game, a way back into contention in the Sun Belt.
One final question for Mike Anthony of the Statesboro Herald, who's making time for us this morning. He covers Georgia Southern, and he's on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. All right, Mike, you know, you've done a little scouting report. You know this Georgia Southern team. Give me your thoughts. Who's going to win this game and why?
Man, it's tough. It's a toss. I know. I think the line has Louisiana by 3 right now. I think I've got to maybe play with my heart here. Georgia Southern's going to have a big crowd. It's family weekend. They're the only FBS game in the state of Georgia that always bodes well for attendance at Paulson. The Eagles are a lifetime 190-43 there, one of the best winning percentages in all of college football. I think if Wirtz is healthy and can get the offense going, it's going to be tough for Louisiana. They've got a great offense, but I think the Eagles can do enough to slow them down, and maybe the home field advantage is enough to push the Eagles over the top. I wouldn't expect it to be an easy win by any means. I think whoever walks away with this victory is going to do so knowing that it was a hard-fought battle, but I'm going to go with the Eagles in the tight one.
Mike, appreciate your time and your insight, brother. Keep up the tremendous work that you're doing there at the Statesboro Herald, and we'll talk to you soon, my friend.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if you don't mind, can I chime in on that poll you were talking about at the beginning of the segment?
Oh, by all means, brother. Go ahead.
I don't know what you're talking about with tackling issues for LSU. I didn't see too many missed ones when they were tracking down the Eagles triple option. That was a long night in Death Valley.
fair point, Mike. Appreciate it, brother.
Yes, sir.
That's Mike Anthony of the Statesboro Herald. He joined us there on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. He's not wrong. There wasn't a lot of missed tackling in the opener versus Georgia Southern. But all of a sudden, they forgot how to tackle against Texas and against Northwestern State and against Vanderbilt. So I don't know. Maybe they got all their tackling technique out of them versus Georgia Southern. Had to stop that triple option. Got to wrap up your guy. Got to do sound tackling there to stop that. Because, man, they stopped that like it was nobody's business. And that's the thing. You watch how they tackled and performed against Georgia Southern, you're like, oh, wow, this defense is just going to be nasty. And then they just forgot how to tackle. So maybe a week off is going to do the Tigers some good. And Coach O and Dave Aranda yelling at them for a full week and a half about tackling. I would go out on a limb and say we're going to see a better tackling when Utah State comes to town. I'm just going to have a feeling about that. That's my initial thoughts on the tackling issues. Tremendous conversation with Mike Anthony. We got to take a quick time out. Reminder, our interview that I was able to sit down with Billy Napier yesterday and get, that's coming up at 8:32, UL head football coach. But you're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company, right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. Our interview that I was able to sit down with Billy Napier yesterday. That'll be coming up at 8:32 as we'll talk to the UL Raging Cajun head football coach right here on RP3 and Company. But right now it's time for us to take a little detour in the lovely weirdness that is what occurred at a truck stop last week. So a woman bit a camel. We'll just start there. And at first, I thought this was fake news. And then it turned out that it was not. So, to give you a brief synopsis, tourist from Florida, because, of course, let's start there. They had to be from Florida. They had to be Floridians. Decides to stop off at the infamous Tiger truck stop there outside of Baton Rouge, about 20 minutes on I-10, okay? It was known for years as having its own in-captivity tiger, okay, for like 17 years. It was a tourist attraction. You'd come see the tiger, fill up gas, eat in the cafe, everything like that, okay? Known for that for years. When the tiger passed, well, now they got a camel, okay, rocking the camel. And they got a camel called Casper. Casper the camel. He just hangs out doing his thing. Well, these tourists from Florida, and I just assume that they are jort-wearing Florida Gator fans, because I'm just going out on that limb. They have to be, because that'd be the fan base that would do something like this. Decide to bring their dog and feed the dog treats by the fence line of the camel. Well, Some treats get behind the fence line. The dog gets underneath the fence or goes through the fence and gets into the enclosure with the camel. Instead of asking for help from the staff there at the Tiger truck stop, the woman decides to climb inside the enclosure. Now, I know what you're thinking, RP3. This person's ate up with the, you're right. I can't say it on radio, but you're right. You know what it means. Then promptly gets sat on by the camel. The camel's like, I'm not having any of your Floridian shenanigans. I'm going to promptly sit on you. And this woman decided the best course of action to get out of her predicament, which she helped create, was to bite the poor camel in the region that no male species ever wants to have to be touched or bitten in. There you go. Thankfully, the camel is okay because reports later came out that the camel, in fact, is okay because the woman did not have teeth. So there you go. There's your bizarro story of the year. I wrote a column about Lewis. And I, of course, said this makes that Florida-LSU rivalry even a little bit more hairier.
I love how you tied it into sports here. Very on brand for 103.7 The Game. I wanted to chime in just a little bit. Have you heard of the Florida Man Challenge?
A Florida Man Challenge?
Okay, so it works like this. Simply Google Florida Man, followed by the month and day of your birthday.
Okay.
And then pick your favorite headline. Because it's all based around the reputation Florida has for crazy news headlines. So there's a headline for every day of the year. So just simply Google Florida Man along with your month and day, along with your
That's
birthday.
That's exactly what I'm going to do during this commercial break.
And you'll find something. I urge all people.
First of all, of course it's someone from Florida. God bless them. Because if it's going to be a ridiculous, out-of-this-world story, it's going to involve someone from the state of Florida. And if you're talking in sports terms, these people were obviously Florida Gator fans. Because of all the schools out of the state of Florida, they would be the fan base that would do something that stupid. That's right, I'm throwing shade. We're still weeks away from the Florida-LSU game. I'm not even an LSU fan. I'm just keeping it real. I've spent some time in Florida, trust me. There's parts of Florida where you go, what? What? Come on now. You can read the column on the Truck Stop Camel Encounter on 1037thegame.com. It's available for free. When we return here, Billy Napier, right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game. Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios presented by Lafayette Roofing. And we're also simulcast on Stadium Network 32.1. You can also find us on 133 and 1133 in high definition on LUS Fiber. We talked a little Georgia Southern. Got that perspective from our good friend Mike Anthony from the Statesboro Herald. He joins us earlier this hour. But right now, it's time to get the Raging Cajun perspective on Saturday's huge matchup, the Sun Belt opener for the Raging Cajuns, who are 3-1 to start the season, their best start since 2012. Here is my interview with the head coach, Billy Napier, that we taped yesterday.
Hey, Raging Cajun fans, it's time for A Cup of Cajun Talk with Billy Napier, presented by Meters Kitchen Supply and Gulf Coast Bank.
Coach Napier, your team has now started off the season 3-1. It's the best start to a season for the Raging Cajuns since 2012. Just talk about how proud you are of what you and your staff and this team has been able to accomplish in the first quarter point of the season.
Well, I think obviously we've been able to find a way to win some games. I think we've made improvement as a team. That's probably what I would say. I think we've developed young players. But the true challenges are ahead of us, and it's all about how we finish. Certainly we start the conference play this week, and Georgia Southern presents a number of challenges to our team. But the goal here is to continue to improve. Every individual player, everybody in the organization, we've got to continue to improve. Everybody's got to take a good look in the mirror. What are the areas where they need to step up to the plate?
have some integrity and make changes that we need to make. But I like our team. I think we've got really good leadership at the player level. I've been very pleased with our staff. I thought we had a good offseason. Certainly a lot of things that we studied and have incorporated have made a difference.
We're talking with Coach Billy Napier in his second season at the helm of the Raging Cajuns football program. They are off to a 3-1 start this Saturday. They will open up Sunbelt Conference play at Georgia Southern. That game will be at 5 o'clock. Coach, let's talk about Elijah Mitchell. You talked about him at your Monday press conference. This is a young man who overcame some injuries early on in his career and has just continued to grind and continue to develop in your system. What can you say about the young man, the former ERATH High star?
Well, he's a Sunbelt Offensive Player of the Week this week. He had a really good production on Saturday. I think that Eli's a guy who had a true offseason for the first time, so he's bigger, faster, stronger, certainly playing with more confidence. And he's a relatively young player. You know, last year was his first year really playing. Certainly this is his second year in our system, but we love Eli. He has a tremendous attitude. He's selfless. I think he's a guy who's always trying to get better, whether that's working on catching the ball, working on pass protection, his role in special teams. There's lots of things that he could do as he continues to develop as a person and a player. So very proud, and certainly it's always great when you've got one of your local products making an impact on the whole team.
Coach, we've talked a lot about the three-headed monster that you have at running back, and you have so much depth that you have other guys behind them that can easily rush for 100 yards. But I know your philosophy is a lot of that won't happen unless your offensive line does its job. And, man, you have a tremendous offensive line. They do a great job at the run blocking. Has your offensive line reached its potential yet, or do you still think there's room for growth there?
Well, I think that each and every week's a little bit different. You know, I think you try to go play your best game each week. Certainly the personnel is different. The schematics are different. The players that are available are different. You know, we've had a little bit of an injury bug in the tight end room, in the O-line room. But certainly anytime you rush the ball effectively, there's lots of people that are working together. You know, it requires precision. Requires great communication, but we've had some critical people step up. Shane Vilo, a former walk-on that's been able to take over at center. Osiris Torrance, who's been able to take over at left guard as a true freshman. So we've got good leadership in that room with Robert Hunt, Kevin Dotson, those guys. But, you know, I've been impressed with how we worked as a team to rush the ball. That's receivers blocking on the perimeter. That's these young tight ends that have no experience. They're playing in these games and really doing a good job for us on the edge. So it's been a great team effort to have such a success running the ball. We need to continue to do that. We're going to always have to adapt, adjust, evolve each and every week the rest of the way.
We're talking with head coach Billy Napier. He's the man in charge of the Raging Cajuns football program. 3-1 start to the season. They open up Sunbelt Conference play this Saturday at Georgia Southern there in Statesboro, Georgia. Coach, I have to ask you, your quarterback continues to display poise, continues to display good decision-making. I know he's young. I know he doesn't have that many starts under his belt, but he just seems to be taking little steps every single week. Is that the same thing that you're seeing on your end?
Well, I think Levi's, first of all, he's a tremendous leader. He's a great example about how to go about your business, how to prepare. He's a really good practice player. A lot of intensity, a lot of urgency. It's very important to him to do his job for his team. You know, and I think he has gotten a little better each and every week. And we're going to need him to continue to get better. But he accepts his role. One of the more respected people in this building. So I'm excited about Levi. I can't wait to watch him compete this weekend.
Coach, talk about your defense. They continue to make strides. They came up big. They were tremendous, especially there in the first half on the road last week at Ohio. How impressed have you been with the progression and the progress, rather, that your defense has been making?
Saturday in particular, I was very impressed. know, that was a good offensive team. And for the first three quarters of the game, we really limited what they could do. You know, I thought we covered well. I thought we affected the quarterback. We tackled well. Certainly kept the game under control in the first half in particular. You know, while we kind of figured it out on offense, I thought our kicking game was dominant on Saturday. So we started to get all three phases working together, and that's when you really got a chance to have a good football team.
We're talking with UL head football coach Billy Napier. His team is 3-1 on the season. They open up conference play once again this Saturday at Georgia Southern. Coach, let's talk about this conference opener for you and your team. Georgia Southern's a good program. They're coming off a year of winning 10 games and a bowl victory. They have that offense. It's a variation of the triple option. It's not the classic triple option in that sense. They do some other things out of it. Talk a little bit about some of the things that you guys are preparing for when you meet the Eagles this Saturday.
But an option at that. And so the quarterback is a legitimate running back. I mean, he's a running threat. He certainly is a young man who, you know, can go the distance. He's really accomplished. He's been starting there for several years. They're getting him back off an injury this week. So it's going to challenge your gap integrity. There's an extra gap. You know, the quarterback can run the ball. Certainly, you got to have great communication, great eye discipline. And when you get these one-on-one situations, you got to make open field tackles. So it's going to be a challenge. And certainly simulating that during the week in practice is also a challenge. So everybody's going to have to do their job really well this week, including the scout offense, as we try to present as best of a picture as we can for the defensive players.
We're talking with UL head football coach Billy Napier. Coach, you know, he's coming off of an injury. How much of the offense, though, changed while he was out those past few games? They nearly beat Minnesota out of the Big Ten with their backup. Do you expect to see – is it any different, I guess, from what you saw on film the last 2 weeks, their last two games, rather, as compared to what you've seen last season and in the opener for them with Wirtz at quarterback?
Well, I think the kid that's been playing is a really good – he's a young talent. He's a redshirt freshman. He's done a great job. He's equally as dangerous. So we could potentially see both players in the game. But I do think that their system has stayed intact. You know, this guy has an extensive history. He was there with Willie Fritz before Willie made the move to Tulane and then, you know, went out on his own to New Mexico, and now he's back with Coach Lunsford at Georgia Southern. So he's got a great system. He's very aware of what he's doing, how he does it, why he does it. So I think no matter who the quarterback is, he's going to have a good plan, and we got to be ready for that.
We're talking with UL head football coach Billy Napier. His team is once again 3-1 on the season. They open up Sun Belt Conference play this Saturday at Georgia Southern. Coach, tell me a little bit about what the Eagles do on the defensive side of the ball that your team's really going to have to be disciplined when going up against them.
Well, Scott Sloan is their defensive coordinator 3 years ago. He was a safeties coach at App State. You know, so it's very similar to the App State blueprint that we faced last year twice. So a lot of respect for Scott and have known him for a long time. This is a group that's got really good team speed. I think they tackle well. It's a little bit of a product of what they play in practice each and every day. The secondary in particular tackles well. They're quick up front. They're big at backer. I think they've got a really good template and blueprint on defense, and it's going to be one heck of a challenge.
We're talking with UL head football coach Billy Napier. Coach, how important is it for your team to be able to start Sun Belt Conference play with a win, especially knowing how deep and talented this conference is?
Well, you know, we're going to play the game when Saturday gets here. Heck, my staff and myself, we're worried about meetings, practice, trying to get these players as prepared as possible. You know, certainly in the coaches' world right now, it's Tuesday. And it is time to go to work, go on this practice field, and get the most out of our meetings, walkthroughs, and practice. All these games count the same from here on out. It's kind of like being in the playoffs. Each and every conference game, with the divisional format, the championship game, all of them count the same, and certainly this one will be no different. It's going to be very competitive. It's on the road. You know, new mission, new time, new location, different personnel, different schematics. And I promise you one thing, the Raging Cajuns are going to compete, and we look forward to the opportunity.
And Coach, appreciate your time as always. Get to feeling better, and good luck this weekend when you guys travel to Statesboro and come back with a victory.
All right, guys. Thank you all. Have a great day.
That's UL head football coach Billy Napier. That was our interview on Tuesday as we got to catch up with Coach. Once again, Raging Cajuns will open up Sun Belt Conference play this Saturday, 5 o'clock on the road in Statesboro, Georgia, taking on the Georgia Southern Eagles. Big game for Billy Napier and his staff, without a doubt. More RP3 and Company is going to be coming up after this quick timeout. You're listening to Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
Make sure to tune in next Wednesday for A Cup of Cajun Talk with Billy Napier, presented by Meters Kitchen Supply and Gulf Coast Bank.
Welcome back to RP3 and Company right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. It's time to wrap up today's show. In grand fashion, in stellar fashion, Louis Prejean, grab the microphone, my friend.
Okay.
I already got you laughing before you even grabbed the mic. That's a good sign. That's a good sign.
I'm trying to be high energy right now. We want to close the show off right.
Yes. So, my question to you is, we talked about it earlier on today's show. Do you want to go take a road trip now to the Tiger truck stop along I-10?
No.
To see the scene of the crime?
I'm scared something might happen again. You know, they say lightning doesn't strike twice in one place, but I'm just really, you never know. You never know. And so I'm going to have to decline. We can go to New York to see the Jets play. That's what we can do. What's more torturous? Having to experience that happen in front of your eyes with the Florida story, or watch the Jets play?
I think I would prefer the camel being assaulted than rather watch the Jets play football. Okay. Your Jets are awful, my man.
Look, we don't want to close the show out with me being upset. I mean, come on. It was a great show, Ray. Fantastic job by you.
We don't want to close out the show by being upset,
They play in Philly October 6th. They're on a bye week right now, so it's fine. Early for a bye week, but they need it.
Yeah, got to recover from that. Your quarterback has mono. Your head coach has googly eyes and looks like he's from Beetlejuice. And just so much talent. Like, free Jamal Adams, for real. Just free Jamal Adams. Trade that poor man to another team so he can play for a competitive. That is a franchise that is poorly ran. But I will say this, and I know that's your secondary team, right, Lewis? That's your secondary team. You root for the Saints, but because you also root for the Jets, right?
Yeah. Hometown, you know, I have to go for the Louisiana teams.
Right, okay.
New Orleans Saints, that's embedded in me.
Yes.
So I was like, I have to pick another team, and I picked the Jets.
And when did you make this decision to ride with the Jets?
I think 2009.
Oh, so like, pre-butt fumble Mark Sanchez.
Yeah, back-to-back AFC championships.
That's a good choice.
Back-to-back losses in AFC championships? So
just,
we'll leave that up.
Just know this. Despite how much of a dumpster fire your secondary team, the Jets, is, currently in the state that they are, they're not the Washington Redskins, my childhood team, who is starting a quarterback that commits 5 turnovers and is coached by a Gruden and is owned by Daniel Snyder, who treats the NFL franchise as it is one of his 6 flag parks. And here's the thing. Finally, after years of incompetence, the Redskins fans are not coming to games anymore. If you watch that game on Monday Night Football, there was more Bear fans in attendance, and the game was in D.C. Okay? That's all you need to know about the state of the Redskins. They're winless. They're coached by Gruden, who, by the way, awful. His brother's awful, too. Okay? Terrible coaching, terrible front office, terrible draft picks, terrible owner. It's just awful. Like, Washington should not be allowed to field a team in the NFL. Like, the league's owners should get together and go, no, you go sit in the corner and go to the XFL for a few years until you earn the right to come back into the National Football League. That's what they should do.
Right.
That's what they should do.
If you need someone to talk to, as a Jets fan, I'm here. Also, you know what? Our secondary teams aren't doing well, but our primary teams are 3-1 Louisiana Raging Cajuns, 2-1 New Orleans Saints, 4-0 number 4 in the country LSU Tigers. It's a great time for us, despite us being sad about our secondary team. Feels great.
Hey man, you know what? We got air in our lungs. We're here talking sports talk.
I love
each other and with the listeners who, thankfully, make us part of their morning. You can't beat that, brother. You can't beat that.
I'm thankful to all the listeners that are listening out right now. Unless, you know, they just shut it off whenever they hear my voice. They're like, I'll come back in 5 minutes when Lewis is off the air. So, but I'm thankful to those people, too, because at least they're tuning in. Thank you to everyone who listens to
RP3
and Company.
And, hey, you want to have a good time? I got something for you as well. Acadiana, it's time to saddle up because the Angola Prison Rodeo is coming. And 103.7 The Game wants to give you a family four-pack of tickets to the wildest show in the South. The only thing you got to do, text the word Angola, A-N-G-O-L-A, to 68683 for your chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to the Angola Prison Rodeo. Once again, text Angola, A-N-G-O-L-A, to 68683. For your chance to win a family four-pack of tickets to the wildest show in the South. Well, today was a wild show. What happened at that truck stop was wild. I'm glad we got to get to that. I want to thank our guest, Chris Blair, the voice of the LSU Tigers. I want to thank Mike Anthony from the Statesboro Herald, giving us a look behind enemy lines for Georgia Southern. And, of course, I want to thank UL head football coach Billy Napier for joining the program. Lewis, you did a tremendous job. Keep it up. I want to thank all of you out there for listening. You guys be safe, be kind to one another today, and we'll talk to you tomorrow right here on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.